51:6, Psalm 51:6, which actually is part of the prayer of David, his prayer of repentance with that great, great double sin that he committed. And he says, "Behold, you delight in truth." Truth in the inward parts. Truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you would make known wisdom to me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you would make known wisdom to me. Now, we highlighted yesterday that this verse is the basis to show that in our being, when we were created, man, every human being, was created with inward parts. And we know, like we mentioned, 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us those three great parts are body, soul, and spirit. But as you read the Bible, there are more inward parts than that. And then and this diagram is actually a compilation of that jigsaw puzzle throughout the Bible that shows us what are our inward parts. But even we have all this, and doesn't mention, we didn't label here the heart, where our brother pointed out to us, though, that the heart is these, everything of the soul, right, these parts, but including our conscience. So the conscience is a component of both our heart and our spirit. So when this says you have what? You delight in truth in the inward parts. That could include our soul, our mind, emotion, and will, and our heart. But when it says the hidden part, that surely is referring to the deepmost part, which is our spirit. In Peter has this phrase, the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. In your heart, there's something hidden. That's your spirit. Anyway, so we mentioned this yesterday, we also talked about Matthew chapter 7. Okay, Matthew 7. That was verses 24 through 27. That's the parable of the two kinds of men, the wise man and the foolish man, the man who builds his house on the rock and the man who builds on the sand. But it starts with this. It starts with he who hears my word. He who hears my word. And that's the determining factor. What do you do with what you hear? What do you do with what you hear? Or what have you done with what you have heard? And we've all heard, actually many of us grew up in Christian homes from following what it says in 2 Timothy, from a babe, you've known the sacred writings, from a babe. Many of us know. Maybe some got saved later, but the majority of us here, from a babe, we've gotten words. What have we done with what we've heard is the question. And that story, that parable, it says the wise man builds his house on a rock. The foolish man builds his house on sand. Now, they both heard the same thing. So why do you end up building on a rock and I end up on sand? What? Different foundation. So how do you build a foundation? It depends, what do you do with what you've heard? You realize you're building your own foundation. You're building your own foundation. How do you build a proper foundation? It depends on the exercise of your heart and your spirit. Because it's by the exercise of your heart and your spirit is how you digest what you hear. And that it becomes in you something that builds up a foundation in you. So, do you have a foundation? Do you have a foundation? Has the word benefited you so that you have a foundation? In Hebrews, it says, Hebrews talks about the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt. They went eventually to the good land. He said, the word, we heard the word and we mixed it together with faith. That's how you build the foundation. You take the word, you mix it with faith. But what is faith? Faith is a matter of your heart and your spirit. Faith is a matter of your heart and your spirit. The Bible says we believe in our heart, but it also says we have a spirit of faith. So faith is wrapped up with our heart and our spirit. So we have to learn how to properly exercise our heart and our spirit. Okay, this is what we emphasized yesterday, but I want to show you something a little different here, different emphasis. Behold, you delight in truth. Right. Truth. In the inward parts. What's truth? It's reality. Reality. We hear a lot of things, but we have to admit when we have this, another American idiom, the rubber meets the road. I don't know if other cultures have this. You don't have this. The rubber meets the road. When the rubber meets the road, no reality. Just words. If you have to think about and reference a message you heard, you ain't got it, right? It's not part of you. But if you know how to apply that word through the exercise of your heart and your spirit, you'll have reality. Amen. That'll be real to you. Amen. And when it's real to you, through you, it can be real to others. Amen. Truth. In the inward parts. And then it says, in the hidden part, you would make known wisdom to me. Oh, we need wisdom. You know, wisdom is a matter of your spirit. Wisdom is a matter of your spirit. In the New Testament, in Ephesians, it says that we have what? The eyes of our heart. Very interesting. Heart. The eyes of our heart having been enlightened. And that you would have what? A spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit is a matter of, or wisdom is a matter in our spirit. In our spirit. Do you know to see spiritual revelation is an exercise of heart and spirit. Heart and spirit. We have to use our heart and our spirit. In the proper manner, in the proper way. And saints, we also mentioned this. Every spiritual experience begins with love in the heart. Amen. Every spiritual experience begins with love in the heart. And it is our great need to renew our love for the Lord all the time. Every day, actually. Every day. Our problem is that we didn't notice. The enemy subtly, and it's usually not through great things, it is just through the course of our daily life. Just the things of our daily life. We forgot to renew our love for the Lord. That's all. We missed it. We skipped it. We didn't renew our love for the Lord, and we went right into morning revival. How can that even be possible? But it is. We didn't renew our love for the Lord, but we got ready to serve on children's meeting. We didn't renew our love for the Lord, and Oh, because we had to prepare to share something in the opening word on the Lord's Day. How is that even possible? But we did it. We did it. And don't even talk about, we didn't renew our love for the Lord, but we got ready for work. We didn't renew our love for the Lord, but we paid our bills. We didn't renew our love for the Lord, and we just lived, you know, we interacted with everybody during the day. And then little by little, it's just not the same. And we don't notice because life is too fast. Oh, life in the Northeast is too fast. Well, I don't know about, you know, Rosendale. New Paltz. I don't know about life in New Paltz or where is it? Newburgh. I don't know. But New York City, you know, life is too fast. And then on top of that life, we put church life, which is ridiculous. I mean, you know, we talk about blessing, but man, this is busy. It's just, you can't, I mean, I won't talk about it, but anybody. I'm still trying to go to visit every hall. And before I finish visiting the hall, then they add a new one. No, I've been to every hall except 9. But I went to hall 8 one time. Went to hall 8 one time. I want to come back. I want to visit. But I haven't seen hall 6 in 10 months. But I got to visit hall 2 before I visit hall 6 because I haven't. Then Bronx, hall 5. Now, 9. And then we talked about every now and then visiting Rosendale non-conference. Never happened. It's never going to happen, actually. It's never going to happen. But and you know what? All that busyness can interrupt the renewing of my love for the Lord. How is that even possible? But it's possible. So I would say, saints, actually our greatest need is just this, that we could have a pause and just renew our love for the Lord. Amen. Have a refreshed, renewed consecration. For wherever we're at, just say, Lord, I love you. Amen. Lord, I love you. Amen. Draw my heart like you never have before. Amen. I'm here. At least I'm here now. Lord, I can't promise you tomorrow. Amen. But I'm here now, and I'm available now. Amen. I give myself to you now. Not to a thing. Not to do. But just to be. And I'm just here. I hope, whether it's this instant now, later today, or in this coming week, we all could do something like this to set aside a time. I would say you need at least 30 minutes, and best if it's a solid hour, so that it's not rushed. The Lord may not keep you for the whole hour, but can we have a time that we don't end, but rather the Lord ends? You know, there is such an example in the book of Genesis, in the story of Abraham and God. In Genesis 18, there's that time where, you know, the Lord comes with the two angels, and Abraham sees him and welcomes him, and then God tells him, you're going to have a son. Sarah is in the tent. She chuckles, right? She laughs. And that whole exchange. And then she prepares dinner for them. It's like they have a leisurely day. And then God sends the two angels, and they go. Actually, those are the two angels that show up in Sodom in the next chapter to save Lot and his as much of his family as possible. And then Abraham walks. It's like what we do when we have somebody over, and then you walk out to the car, but I walk out with you, and we keep talking. We keep talking. And maybe we talk longer there than we did at the table. And sometimes after talking, we actually walk, go back inside. and another cup of coffee. And then we come out, and it's just that lingering. And then you notice, this is Genesis 18:33, a little gem in the Bible. Genesis 18:33. Judah, I'm almost done. Yeah. It says, and Abraham left when he had finished his speaking. Or does it say he?
That's my point.
Look. It says, Jehovah went away. This is Genesis 18:33. Jehovah went away when.
Yeah.
When he had finished his speaking. Not when Abraham finished speaking. Actually, very often, you're having fellowship with God, and you're, oh, time to go to work, and you leave. And God is, I guess I'll go then. Be honest. Even have you ever ended a time to say, Lord, is that it? Amen. See you. I'm going to go to work now. See you tomorrow. Actually, it's never see you tomorrow. It goes with you. But do you understand what I mean? That you have a sense. Oh, after seeing that, there are times when I finish praying, close up, stand up. I feel sorry. I ended this. No, Lord, no. I sit back down, put everything back where in my place, and I wait. Lord, you have more. So have a time where in which you can do that. When the Lord says, I'm happy. You can go now. Have a time like that. Oh, I believe in such a time when we can exercise to have all this unclogged. And saints, I appreciate, I thought about giving that, but I'm glad you did it. Yeah, about the toilet. Yeah. Because there's a bunch of yucks inside our heart that needs, I was being kind with the sink. But we need a in our heart. No, Paul says dung. Paul calls it dung. In Philippians 3, things that were gains to me. There are gains that actually are that should be flushed. But if we don't see it as done, we'll never do that. We need this. We need the before the Lord. Lord, my heart. Do that in my heart with a time. I want to leave you with two notes that I'd like to read in the recovery version of the New Testament. If you have that, I would like that we could read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like to read the two notes, then we have a little time of prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Actually, two notes here and one note later on in Matthew. Here's the verse, 2:9. We could read the verse together. But as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, things which eye has not seen, amen. And there's a note one for the word I, and note three for the word love. Sisters, could you read the note for the word I, note 9:1? Sisters, the sphere of what the eye can see is narrow. The sphere of what the ear can hear is broader. And the sphere of what the heart can realize is without limitation. God in his wisdom, that is in Christ, has ordained and prepared for us many deep and hidden things, justification, sanctification, and glorification. All these the human eye has never seen, the human ear has never heard, and the human heart has never realized. Brothers, could we read 9:3? To realize and participate in the deep and hidden things God has ordained and prepared for us requires us not only to believe in Him, but also to love Him. To fear God, to worship God, and to believe in God, that is, to receive God, are all inadequate. To love Him is the indispensable requirement. To love God means to set our entire being, spirit, soul, and body, with the heart, soul, mind, and strength, absolutely on Him. That is, to let our entire being be occupied by Him and lost in Him, so that He becomes everything to us, and we are one with Him practically in our daily life. In this way, we have the closest and most intimate fellowship with God, and we are able to enter into His heart and apprehend all its secrets. Thus, we not only realize, but also experience, enjoy, and fully participate. When it talks about apprehending God's heart and secrets, it references Psalm 25:14, which says, "The intimate counsel of Jehovah is with those who fear Him." Saints, we need the intimate counsel of the Lord. Yeah. Things concerning us in our future. One other portion, just another note. Very familiar with many of us is Matthew 26, verse 8, if we could read that. This is the story of the woman with the alabaster flask. You know, Mary, she pours the ointment on the Lord. And in verse 8, it says, "And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste?'" Incredible that the disciples, who are supposed to be the Lord's closest followers, you know, we know that in another place it talks about Judas said this, but it doesn't say that here. That means others shared this opinion. You know, sometimes when we're too much for the Lord, even other saints don't understand. Would you be held back by that? Would you be held back by even saints in the church thinking, "Oh, be practical"? Some people will tell us, "Oh, that's not practical." I know they love us. That's why they say that. Sometimes your feeling is, "Yeah, not now. I understand what you're saying. Thank you." Then you go to the Lord. "Lord, I don't care for practicality. I care for You. Amen. I like to pour out." How about once in your life? Don't be practical. And just in your life, in all of us, in our life with the Lord, there have to be times like this. I'm not saying be reckless, nor to damage your family ever in any way. But let's read this. Maybe we have some prayers. "The disciples considered Mary's love offering to the Lord a waste. Throughout the past 20 centuries, thousands of precious lives, heart treasures, high positions, golden futures have been wasted upon the Lord Jesus. Those who love Him in such a way, He is altogether lovely and worthy of their offering. What they have poured upon Him is not a waste, but a fragrant testimony." And if we're talking about this description, precious lives, heart treasures, high positions, golden futures, to me, that's here. In this conference, not in the high school conference, not in the college conference, in this conference, with you, with all the ones in your age category throughout the Lord's recovery. The other day, some brothers, I was visiting one of the churches, telling them what we're doing. I told them, brothers, I feel maybe in the whole year, this is the most important conference I will be involved with. Because here is the future, really, of what the Lord wants to do in this region and with all of you corporately in the whole world. In Germany, next weekend, I believe, they also have a conference. Same age category. Actually, we have the same burden to fellowship there with them. How about we close with some prayers? Just feel free to pray out what's on your heart. That'll be the real conclusion. Amen.